We indeed have a very full house this morning. I'm glad you're part of it. We welcome you to the Veterans Parkway Church here in Murfreesboro, and we're glad to have you here. If you're visiting with us for the very first time, welcome. And we do not take you for granted, and after the services are concluded, we would love to just shake your hand and make you feel even more at home. We're glad you are with us this morning. Some are repeat visitors, and we're glad you're back with us as well. Just please make a mental note. As has already been stated, we will meet this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Is our fifth Sunday normal time of assembly, and so that's going to be this afternoon at 3 o'clock, and we're looking forward to a little bit, and then a lesson that'll be a little different from some things maybe that we usually talk about, but living in the times we do, it's time that we talk about this. So 3 o'clock this afternoon, hopefully we'll have several guests, and all of us will be back at that time. My Bible's open this morning to the 22nd chapter of Genesis. So I'm going to ask you to take your Bible and turn with me there, Genesis chapter 22, and beginning in verse 1. Genesis 22, and beginning in verse 1. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. He said, Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. So they came to the place of which God told him, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son, Isaac, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, Here I am. He said, Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. Why? If Abraham ever asked that question, Scripture never reveals it. What Scripture tells us about Abraham is his faith. You can read over in Hebrews, it says, By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And Scripture reveals his response when God called to him in Genesis chapter 22. Abraham responded and said, Here I am. I think maybe I would have asked that question. There have been times in my life when I've asked that question. Why is this happening? Why here? Why now? Why me? And I'm going to guess something this morning. I'm going to guess in this assembly that some of you have asked those same questions. You do understand this is not the first time Abraham has been tested. If you go back to chapter 12 and beginning in verse 1, Abraham was tested there. When the Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land that I will show you." God sent Abraham out blindly. The Hebrew writer says Abraham went not knowing where he was going. But even though God sent out Abraham blindly, He sent him out with the promise, "Go and I will make you a great nation." And so Abraham went. But you must understand, Abraham did not go empty-handed. God said, "I will be your protection. I will be the shield around you." In Genesis 15 and verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, "Do not fear, Abram, I am a shield to you, and your reward will be great." And it doesn't surprise us in Genesis 15 and verse 6 that it says, he believed in the Lord. He believed. But isn't that what we usually associate with Abraham? When we think Abraham, we think faith. Because the faith of this man is amazing. He towers as a giant among his Old Testament peers because of his faith. We think faith, we think Old Testament, we think Abraham, who became known as the father of the faithful. And yet when you come to Genesis chapter 22, I'm not sure we comprehend. I'm not sure we come very close at all to grasping what God is asking, the degree to which God is testing this man. Because his faith has never been put to the test like it was in the passage we just read. You know, God has never promised any of us that everything in our life is going to line up exactly according to our expectations. God never says that if you follow me, then everything in your life is going to be wonderful. There's not going to be any trouble. There's not going to be any issues or heartbreak. Everything for you is going to be easy. He never says that. What He does promise you and me is that whatever happens in your life, He will not leave you. That is a promise He makes. In Hebrews 13 and verse 5, "I will never leave you. I will never desert you." And when God says never, and by the way, that's a big word, but when God says never, He means never. I will never walk away from my child. Now, you may walk away from him, but as long as you walk with him, he will walk with you. But sometimes things happen in life that we can't understand or comprehend. And we ask why. We find our own selves in a place not unlike Abraham's place, where we feel like we're going through the valley of the shadows of testing. So how are we going to handle that? Do we face it with faith? Or do we run from it in fear? Simply because we can't answer all the questions. We don't know the reasons. But I caution you in Genesis 22, I caution you, don't take the human emotional element out of this passage. Because if ever there was a passage of pathos and passion, it is right here in Genesis chapter 22. If you have the bulletin with you this morning, on the back page is exactly where we're going. Because God gives to Abraham a very hard command. a very hard command. I cannot imagine the pain and the confusion. I cannot imagine the open heart wound that is brought on by this test. Because, ladies and gentlemen, every step taken by the old man is excruciatingly painful because he knows what God has asked him to do. And there walking beside him is Isaac. And that boy meant everything to him. Isaac was the son of promise. Isaac was the son that he had longed for, that he had prayed about, the one that God had promised. And God's going to take that away? Verse 6 of Genesis chapter 22 says, Abraham carried the knife and Abraham carried the fire. But he carried more than that. He carried the weight of what God had asked him to do. And in verse 7 and verse 8, I struggle trying to comprehend the emotion of this between the lines when his son spoke to his father and he said to Abraham, my father, and he said, I'm right here, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood. Why didn't we bring the lamb? Don't you know Abraham swallowed hard when he said, God will provide. God will provide. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, he always does. Because as Abraham looked back over a century of life, Abraham could tell you that God has always provided for me. Abraham had never seen a promise of heaven fail. And now he's 100+. How old was Isaac on this journey? I don't know. He's old enough to make the journey. He's old enough to participate in the conversation. Isaac is probably older than most people tend to think when we view this scene. So however old Isaac is, you can add that to 100, and now that's how old Abraham is. So Abraham's old enough to know that when God makes a promise, that God will do what God says He's going to do. Always had. Always will. But the question this morning is for you and me, and that is simply this. Do you believe? We know Abraham believed. Do you believe? Do you believe that regardless of the mountain you face in your life today, do you believe God will provide? That no matter what He's asking you to sacrifice, that He will provide. That He will provide you with the strength, that He will provide you with the grace, that He will provide you with the way. Well, we know exactly what He did for Abraham. In verse 13, Abraham raised his eyes and he looked, and behold, behind him there was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. God provided a ram that day. And centuries later, He would provide the lamb. You see, God didn't just spare Abraham's son. There's more to this than what you read. He didn't just spare Abraham's son. Centuries later, He provided His son. And He provided His son to spare us. Listen to the writing of Paul when he said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. Or Isaiah 53 and verse 6, all of us like sheep have gone astray, but God has caused the iniquity of us to fall on Him. You see, the next time a sacrifice is offered, God didn't stop it. Why? Why didn't God stop the sacrifice of the lamb on the cross? because of you. That's how much God loves you and me. That's 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, His only begotten Son. Which brings me this morning to the Romans 8 and verse 32 promise that ties all of this together. Romans 8 and verse 32. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Look at that. If God promises to do that for us, then we can trust Him like Abraham trusted Him. And yet sometimes it feels like we are the ones carrying the knife. We are the ones climbing the mountain. We are the ones stumbling beneath the loose gravel of a life path in which sometimes it's very difficult to find our footing. And we want to know why. Why am I climbing this mountain? Why am I having to go through this? Why is God allowing me to be tested in such a hard way? Well, I don't have all the answers to that. But I tell you what I've learned. I've learned I don't have to have the answers. Like Abraham, I just have to trust the One who does. And like the song that we sing, I just must learn that where He leads, I will follow. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? In His way and in His time, God will provide. So I don't know where you are this morning in life and on the path, but God sees exactly where you are. He sees your pain. He feels your brokenness. He knows your heart. And He walks beside you. Even though maybe what is happening in your life is a far cry from what you ever expected. He sees you when the ending of your story is not what you would have wanted. He sees you right in the middle of this mess. And all He asks from you or from me is to look up from the middle of our mess and to confess with Abraham, I know the Lord will provide. In places where you thought your life would be different. In places where you thought your life would be better. In places where you thought your life would be more. God provides. He has provided His Son to forgive you of your sins. He has provided His light to shine in the dark places of your life. He provides you with the hope to get up another day and keep on going. He gives you the promise that He will never leave you and He will never forsake you. And He gives you the strength to keep climbing the mountain when you don't think you can take another step or face another day. He provides. And He wants us to know that. He loves us even in the midst of our broken places. Because the land that He provided keeps reaching out to all of us with nail-scarred hands that will not let you go. The Lord will provide. It's not easy climbing this mountain. Especially when you look up and there's more mountain to climb. And it wasn't easy for Abraham to answer his beloved son with such a response of faith. But somehow, in some way, even though it escaped every bit of human reason and reasoning, the Bible says Abraham believed. So I'll wrap up these thoughts in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 17. Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 17. Climbing your mountains with faith. Listen to this. Hebrews 11 and verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, "In Isaac your descendants shall be called." He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead. And so Abraham believed. And Abraham kept trusting and hoping and obeying and knowing that God would provide. And ladies and gentlemen, he did. He did. And he still does. It's so easy when things happen in our life and we don't understand, or we find ourselves wrestling with our faith, with questions we can't answer. It's easy sometimes to fall down into the well of self-pity, as if I'm the only one. I'm the only one so struggling. You're not. You are not the only one. You sit in a place this morning. You sit in an assembly with people who got all dressed up. Most of us had our Saturday night baths. You know, we clean up well, and we look good from the outside. And it's easy to come into a place like this and sit here and think, I'm the only one. They just don't know what's going on in me, in my life, in my home, in my family. Nobody else must be struggling like I am. It's not true. Let me tell you who sits around you this morning. You're sitting near people who are climbing some pretty tough mountains, who are dealing with some pretty tough questions. But what all of us must do is learn to trust Him when we don't have the answers. Hebrews 2 and verse 13 just says, I will put my trust in Him, period. But you also have to learn how important it is to show others who are climbing mountains, to show others who are hurting, the lamb-like compassion of Jesus. You know, when I read in Dr. Luke's account in Luke 9 and verse 51, it talks about Jesus going to Jerusalem, knowing what's coming. And the Bible says, He set His face toward Jerusalem. And it is interesting, as Jesus set His face toward Jerusalem and journeyed knowing what was coming, it's interesting, He kept encountering hurting people who kept coming to Him again and again and again. And it is interesting, not one time did He ignore them. Not one time did He compare His trial with theirs. Not once did He say to any of them, listen here, fella, you think you've got it rough? Let me tell you what's waiting for me there. He didn't do that. Time after time after time, He reached across the path of pain with a hand of compassion. And sometimes He just sat down and cried with people who were hurting. God help us to be more like the Lamb of God. And so we journey on. We never know what tomorrow will bring. But it's not easy climbing these mountains. And with each step, sometimes we wonder, does God understand? And He does. Will God take care of me? And He will. Will God somehow, some way, maybe in a way that I don't understand, will He provide Yes. Well, how? I don't know. How can God make something good come out of this mess? I don't know the answer to that question. But I know this in Romans 8 and verse 28. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. You either believe that or you don't. And if you don't believe that, then maybe you need to take a good, hard, long look at a man by the name of Abraham, who embraced God and who obeyed when he didn't understand either. The Lord will provide. May God help us never, ever to forget that. We sing the song of invitation this morning. If you're not a Christian, then you're living on borrowed time. If you're not a Christian, then you're living without hope. Hope that God can help you through the lamb that He sacrificed for you. Hope that comes from being surrounded by other people who are struggling too, but who serve the same Lord. But you have to give Him your life. You give Him your life as He gave His life literally for you. Be baptized today. You can become a Christian today. And we can help you today. Or if you owe a duty to God because you've walked away from Him, He hadn't walked away from you. You walked away from Him. You made the decision. You going to keep walking? You going to keep going in the wrong direction? You going to keep blaming everybody else and everything else? Why don't you take a look in the mirror? Better than that, why don't you take a look at Calvary? Why don't you take a long look at the cross and look at the one who died for you? Maybe you need to come and just say, I need help and prayers. I need encouragement. And maybe that's where you are this morning. Maybe it's not a sin problem in your life as much as it is just discouragement. Maybe we can pray with you and help you. I'll tell you what I know about these people. They'll put their arms around you and they will love you if you'll give them a chance. We sing the song of invitation. Won't you come while we stand and sing together?